You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the beloved one and only All Warrior Radio Network. So, good morning to you. Hope you're having a good one. The, okay, let me cut the music. Yeah. No, I've got a number of thoughts on a number of issues. I'll tell you what I want to talk about here in the next 30 minutes or so. Obviously, the resignation of SecNav. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the World Health Organization and China and the fact that those two, in tandem, gave the world the gift of COVID-19. I want to talk about the press briefings that I watch on a daily basis. I want to talk about the I want to talk about dynamic decision making too, you know, and I want to talk about that and Governor Cuomo's, in conjunction with Governor Cuomo's press conference. So the SecNav resigned, right? I mean, thank God. Right now, the Navy can get back to being cuddly and weak, so things will be right. I made the comment yesterday that I'd rather have Maudley out there being pissed and wire brushing people than I would have what seems to be the standard in the Department of Defense, and that is slick people, right, taking political positions, and then the uniform guys and girls, they don't say shit. Okay. Now, oddly enough, yesterday as I was working out, I was watching the president. He said, you know, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan brought to you by the aforementioned slick assholes, right, with bobblehead generals complicit in all of it. You know how much that has cost, the bill for that is? I'm not sure how many guesses I should give you before I say, okay, that's enough. $9 trillion. You imagine that? $9 trillion that could have been spent here in the United States. $9 trillion. That's where slick and weak get you. So, you know, again, thank God, Secretary, you know, Maudley, he's done. I mean, can you imagine? You know, the harsh language that he used. So this combination of slick and bobblehead, slick and political correct, slick and looking out for my career as opposed to standing up for what the nation needs, that has bought us Vietnam. It has bought us Afghanistan. It has bought us Iraq. Right? And it's the same dynamic. It is guys like Robert McNamara and a whole bunch of generals that were on the Joint Chiefs of Staff who didn't say shit about it. Why not? Because it might fuck up the rest of their life. You know, because my path is I'm a shit can, this general shit here. And I'm going to go make hundreds of thousands. I'm going to go make millions of dollars. Yeah, that's where I'm headed. You think I'm going to fuck it up? I mean, I know like all that bullshit about, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do and I have a moral obligation. I mean, but come on, really? I'm going to cost myself hundreds of thousands. I'm going to cost myself millions of dollars simply by standing up for what's right. I mean, come on. What are we, children? So that's where promoting those people has got us. Right? Now, I want to give you a pretty interesting little historical example. Imagine if Eisenhower didn't have, right, the intestinal fortitude that he had. And if after, and I want to talk about that. Could a guy like Eisenhower exist today? Or would he be just like the rest of them? Because, you know, years ago, when the world was run by paper and typewriters and things like that, and, you know, and lightning communication was a phone call someplace, okay? You had to do what you thought was right out there. You didn't have somebody watching you. That's not the case anymore. Right? They can see everything you do. In the press briefing yesterday, you know, we've got a system that can see into what every hospital is doing. Well, there's good and bad with that. The good is that you can see and you can have a more responsive logistic organization. Okay, the bad that comes with that is when people begin, you know, to supplant leaders, local leaders, with their judgment at some echelon above reality. Okay, now, I watched that in Afghanistan. We talked about people being able to literally, from their desk somewhere, maybe in Iraq, you know, maybe it was at some MEF headquarters, or sometimes beyond that, you know, and watching into a battalion's chat window as they're doing something, and then picking up the phone and calling, or even worse, right, starting to communicate with them directly, right? And so now, you know, so my point is visibility. Could so Patton slaps two soldiers suffering from, you know, battle fatigue, you know, very, very famous story, right? And so he's in, I want to say Salerno, but let me read you the background on the Patton story, right? During the invasion of Casablanca, he established himself as an effective commander by rapidly rehabilitating the demoralized U.S. Second Corps. He commanded the 7th Army during the Allied invasion of Sicily. He was the first commander to reach Messina, which is famously chronicled in the movie Patton. He was then embroiled in controversy after he slapped, in front of Stars and Stripes and other reporters, two shell-shocked soldiers. He was temporarily removed from the battlefield. He was assigned a role in Operation Fortitude, the Allies' disinformation campaign for Operation Overlord, So he's off ramp. Eisenhower takes him. He's going to be the commander of this inflatable tank and armor division. Right? Now, in today's day and age, would Eisenhower have been able to keep Patton around? The answer is probably not, right? We all know that. At the start of the Allied invasion of France, Patton was given command of the Third Army. Under his decisive leadership, the Third Army took the lead in relieving beleaguered American troops at Bastogne during the Battle of the Bulge. Now, when you read about Patton at the Battle of the Bulge, okay, this is from Forbes Business Magazine, and it's talking about lead like Patton, all right? The man for the relief mission was George Patton, probably the single most aggressive commander on either side during the war. Patton believed that the way to save his own men's lives was to attack as continuously and aggressively as possible. The sooner you beat your enemy, the more lives you saved. But his Third Army was already attacking east when Eisenhower reassigned it to a northern path directly towards Bastogne. So he has to disengage from his current posture and attacks against the Germans. He's got to leave something there, a remnant there, and pivot to the north with his logistics. Now, talk to people. We had Duffy White on. He was one of the battalion commanders of Duffy commanded 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion in the march up. They did something like that. And, I mean, you can go check out the interview, but, I mean, Duffy describes it. You know, he says, oh, it's like this rolling disaster, right? You got logistics, you got support units, you got units that are attached to you. People don't get the word, right? I mean, a total shit show. The article goes on. It's incredibly difficult to break off an attack and not be sliced to pieces by your opposition. It's almost impossible to wheel away from your competition and, without taking a break, head in another direction completely. And given the bitter winter conditions and the complete absence of air support, the potential for disaster was high. Patton performed exactly the kind of miracle that Ike knew he was capable of, and switched his troops from their eastward attack to move north in miserable conditions over frozen, rutted, backwood roads that wound through hilly, heavily wooded country to attack the southern flank of the German salient and punch open a corridor to Bastogne. It was the greatest moment of Patton's career and a welcome, day-late present for the surrounded heroes of Bastogne. So now, when you read about what Patton actually did, right? So he takes the 4th Armored Division, which spearheads his attack north, right? In the course of that, the 4th Armored Division had to fight its way through units of the German 7th and the 5th Panzer Armies to reach Bastogne. So the distance was one thing. And by the way, you're going to have to fight through 2 separate German units to get there. On back roads with armor. You know what happens on back roads with armor? They drop trees. And you know how long it takes you to fight through the trees and all the rest of that? It takes you hours. Now, if it wasn't for Patton, that Band of Brothers special would be about 4 chapters. All right, it'd be 4 episodes, and then it ends really badly because the 82nd Airborne, elements of the 82nd Airborne, are destroyed at Bastogne if it's not for Patton. So my point is that Patton would have never existed were it not for Eisenhower, right? Could Patton exist today? And so the Navy will go back to, you know, its cuddly, soft, cuddly self where nobody gets her ass ripped. So the honestly, I think when you look at this, right, you back out and you look at all of this, you know, what are we promoting? Lemmings who won't say a word? If you've noticed in the Marine Corps discussion about General Berger's plan, there's been zero dissent. I haven't had anybody forward me, hey Mac, check this out. Holy shit, man, this guy gets into the commandant over this, over his vision. There's been zero. That ought to scare the shit out of everybody, right? Ought to scare the shit out of everybody. So that's what we're promoting. Slick people, right, that nod their head. I think that's, I mean, that ought to scare the shit out of all of us. Without Eisenhower's, you know, guts, and maybe he could have guts because he was far away. And what was somebody going to do? Send him a strongly worded, you know, letter that he would read and say, okay, I got it. But it's my decision because I'm the one out here. Well, not anymore, man. Not when we can see everything you do. Not when we can look down your throat. So, you know, thank God, you know, Acting Secretary Modley resigns. Solves the whole thing. But I'm telling you, this is part of the continuum that gives us $9 trillion wasted in Iraq. I mean, let me tell you, at the end of this, at the rate this is going, Secretary Pompeo is just in Afghanistan. He told the Afghan government that is fighting within itself, either you guys come to some conclusion and you negotiate this prisoner swap with the Taliban, or you're risking a complete pullout of American troops. Now, if you're the Taliban, like, why would you negotiate with them? I wouldn't. Say, look, holy shit, the Americans are going to give us what we want, and we're not even going to negotiate with these ass clowns. Right? So, whether there's this prisoner swap or whatever, what will become of Afghanistan once the Taliban is back in some form of power-sharing arrangement? Everything that we fought for, by and large, will go away. Whatever portion of the $9 trillion, wasted. How does it happen? It happens with this soft, bobblehead, slick shit. And that's how it happened in Vietnam. And we reenacted it. And this, you know, everybody outraged by Modley's, really? You can't get your ass chewed? You know, General Mattis's name. Let me tell you, talk about somebody who could chew ass, and somebody who said indiscreet things in public, too. And thank God he had friends that were able to keep him around because the nation benefited from his service. But, you know, so the Navy's going to be able to get back to everybody playing nice and we're all going to hug each other. A chain of command that's virtually silent. Has the Chief of Naval Operations said anything about this? If he has, I haven't seen it. Where the hell is he? Has the guy who commands the 7th Fleet or girl who commands the 7th Fleet, have they said anything? No. How about Naval Forces Pacific? That guy or girl say anything? Haven't seen that either. Silence. Cricket, 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 cricket. These are admirals in the United States Navy. Very, very visible event. Nobody says a word. You want to know why? Don't want to damage the brand. And they're going to take on the Chinese. So, and let me tell you the danger in all this facade. If the war isn't a button-pushing event, and you have to go into harm's way, just read about the Battle of Samar. Read about what happened on those ships when they got hit, whether it be 8-inch rounds, 5-inch rounds from Japanese battleships and cruisers and destroyers, whether it be, you know, 14, 16, or 18-inch main guns from battleships. Read about what happened inside the ship. what they had to do and what it took to do that. And I'm going to tell you this, soft and cuddly won't fucking cut it. Soft and cuddly doesn't do damage control very well. And so to me, you watch this whole shit show of an event and it's just bad all the way around. A publicly insubordinate captain who doesn't see any relief from his chain of command, read Carrier Strike Group CO, read 7th Fleet, read Navy Pacific, read SecNav. He gets no relief from any of that, and so he goes public. So he's publicly insubordinate. You have a Secretary of Navy who doesn't have the good sense to gather his admirals and say, okay, how do you want to handle this? Which one of you wants to relieve him? Carrier Strike Group guy should have put his hand up and said, that's me. That's my job. All right. Tell me how you guys want to do this. He's going to do this and say this. I'm going to say this. CNO says all says that. Got it. I'd like to go out and talk to the crew. Probably not a good idea, sir. You should probably stay away from that. I'll head out there. The Roosevelt's a big deal. It's a big deal in an unstable world. And what they need to do is get to the port, offload whatever percentage of the crew, right? And as quickly as they can, right, get their asses back out to sea. That's not an insignificant piece of American military might. So anyway, my thoughts on that. The World Health Organization in China, right, they collectively gave us this COVID thing. And if you haven't been paying attention to the statements that the World Health Organization makes, I mean, it's just a lame ass organization. Do they do good stuff around the world? I'm sure they have people that are doing good things around the world. But honestly, at the end of the day, in the reconciliation of this thing that got unleashed on the planet, the Chinese stand at the top of the totem pole. Right, just a little bit below them is the World Health Organization, who corroborated the fact that, yes, this cannot be spread human to human. Right, when you had doctors in China saying that it could. Congratulations to the World Health Organization. And American funding for that, I read this morning. Right, in the last several years, $900 million, almost $1 billion. You know what Chinese funding of it is? $68 million. Why are you carrying China's water? And so, in my opinion, you know, the United States has a moral responsibility, right, to boot the World Health Organization right in the ass. And grab it by the shirt, like by the back of the neck of the shirt, and say, come hither, my son, daughter. We're going to have a conversation. So to me, the World Health Organization, I mean, that's bullshit. And our funding of it is, you know, again, I would say this, is something that bears, scrutiny. This is American taxpayer dollars, kind of like that $9 trillion that we just shit. And then I talked about Afghanistan. I didn't even talk about Iraq. Like, where is Iraq going to go when we ultimately leave? Or are we going to stay there forever? So we can at least get something out of whatever part of the $9 trillion that we flushed down the shitter in Iraq, courtesy of the slick suits and the bobblehead general officers. And so my point about that is I would rather have guys like Modley, right, who goes to that carrier and gets pissed and does it in public and say, look, right, shit gets rough. We've got to be tougher than that. Okay? And I'm pissed, right? So here's what you've got to do. You got to get in this port. We got to get this ship clean. We got to make it safe. We got to offload people that are sick. And then we got to head back out to sea. And we got to do what this ship was designed to do for the American people that they paid for. Let's go, boys and girls. Right? I mean, whatever version of that. And if we're that soft as a nation that you can't hear, an F-18 guy, one of my friends, sent me an email. Hey, do you have that Motley thing? I said, yeah. So I sent it to him. Now, this is an aviation guy. He texted me back last night. Didn't sound that bad. I thought it'd be a whole lot worse. And then he went on to say, and if the truth is anything close to what he said, that he had a conversation with the CEO of the ship, and the next thing he saw was that letter in the newspaper? Come on. What is that? And I will tell you, which from everybody I talked to that's been on active duty says the same thing. I got dead man walking, you know? Yeah. But this is, in my opinion, it's the same bullshit that, oh, somebody got pissed at somebody else. You know, imagine if we smoke J.N. Mattis as a major general for that, you know, killing people's kind of fun, especially when they're assholes, right? Imagine if we smoked him for that. Wouldn't made the contribution he made as a lieutenant general, as a four-star general at CENTCOM, right? Would not have been the Secretary of Defense, you know, because, you know, geez, Jim Mattis, he's just way too, you know, way too beyond the pale for this shit, right? But the United States Navy going to go fight the Chinese. I'm telling you, read the Battle of Samar. Read the last stand of the Tin Can Sailor. When you have one of those missiles hit your ship and you got to fight for it, that's going to take toughness. And I question whether the Navy has that. I question whether the Navy has it. Maybe it does. Maybe when you're face fighting for your life or curling up in the fetal position, maybe you'll do it then. You know, I want to talk about the press briefings. Yeah, the World Health Organization. Can you imagine that? Carrying China's water for $68 million over the same period of time that the United States gave them $900 million. At a minimum, somebody should call them in and say, hey, listen, assholes. Okay? Can you not add? In that scientific brain of yours, do you not understand what 900 is as opposed to 68? Let alone that they be millions? Do you not understand that? If you had an obligation to anybody, you might want to protect the investment that the United States made in your dumbasses and called us and said, hey, the Chinese are playing charades. We're not exactly sure what to do with it, but we figured we ought to give you a heads up because this shit can be transmitted person to person. Got it. Thanks. Good luck in public. Right? 900 million versus 68 million. Somebody, yeah, come in here, stand on the fucking footprints, idiot child, and let me tell you what's up. Bullshit. Right? The press briefings. Let me tell you what I'm so sick of. If you want to be a public policymaker, run for office. If you're a fucking reporter, ask a question. Oh my God, it's like stupid. You watch those assholes. And, you know, first of all, they have to play the whole gotcha thing, right? On a daily basis with everybody, right? Well, you know, on this day you said this, and then this memo got leaked, and this, you know, they're weaving this headline that they're going to write. I would stand up there and say, look, if you have a question that you want to ask me, that's fine. If you want to make policy, run for office. Okay. Now, if you ask me some kind of gotcha bullshit, I'm just going to move on to the next question. Everybody got it? Bernie Sanders ended his presidential bid today. There's a shocker. Oh, no, he's suspending it. You know what that means, right? You know what that means. So, you know, I'm just the whole gotcha game. Ask a question and then be quiet. We're not going to have an argument. And the last thing I want to talk about is Andy Milburn's going to be on the show today. We're going to talk about Andy. We're going to, you know, get Andy's opinion about the whole Secretary of Navy resigning and shit like that. Andy, he's not afraid to tell the truth, which is again, so odd. Imagine that. Right? Imagine that the Commandant of the Marine Corps has completely turned the direction of the Marine Corps, and you haven't seen any dissent over it. You haven't seen any public discussion about it. It's amazing, right? It's quintessentially the American Department of Defense. Nod your head, right? Protect your investment in yourself and go the fuck away. And let me tell you, that's why General Zinni, to me, is the burning bush. Who said in a very public way that he didn't think we should go to Iraq? Tony Zinni, who was the only one in the Michael Gordon article that was quoted, you know, that would go on the record, allow his name to be used in print as dissenting from the current direction of the Marine Corps. In a very, very respectful, polite way, non-critical of the commandant, right? Didn't even address the Marine Corps course of action, just talked about what the Marine Corps has always been. Tony Zinni. Where's the moral courage from everybody else? And the answer is, $9 trillion later, it ain't fucking around. And that's a problem. In my opinion, it's the cancer of the Department of Defense. Because when you have people that won't speak their mind and won't tell the truth and won't click off safe on occasion, which is what Modley did, but I'm okay with that. You know, let's fight about it. We can do it even in public. That's fine. I'm better with that than I am with Robert McNamara, Don Rumsfeld. They're slick, snarky asses, smarter than everybody. Right? What do we flow? I wonder what the cost of Vietnam was would be in today's dollars. I should probably look that up. And money just flushed down the fucking toilet. You could have just lit it on fire and burned it. Hey, you wanted to see what like $12 trillion looks like when it's on fire? They were going to do it on the mall this week, right? We were going to send it all to Vietnam, but we said, fuck it, we'll just burn it instead. Yeah, that'd be something to see. We could all go down and watch it. Think about that. $9 trillion flushed down the toilet because we have both elected leaders and military leaders that have their heads so far up their fucking asses, they can't figure out how to use American power. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. I want to talk about dynamic decision-making. I think the nation has struggled with the whole COVID thing because, you know, what politicians are used to is, you know, we have a problem and we can call everybody together and, you know, we can, you know, map it out and we can talk about it and we can do this and we can do that, right? And we can study the shit out of it and, you know, all that. And so all of a sudden you have an event that's moving. Doesn't lend itself, right? Doesn't lend itself to that kind of shit. And so you see leaders struggle with it. And again, you see it all the time in different, but there's a difference between dynamic decision making and what I would call static decision-making. You know, we're going to have the quarterly report, and from that, we're going to take our forecast, and then we're going to apply that to current revenue, and then we're going to come. I mean, come on. I mean, I remember when I started studying decision-making, I called these guys who had written a book about decision-making. They were Harvard guys, right? And the guy, one of them says to me, well, Mac, what kind of time frame are you talking about making the decision in? I said, minutes to seconds. And they're like, whoa. Geez, well, we've never even considered anything like that. I mean, we consider 90 days short, you know, short fuse decision making. And I started laughing. I said, well, in some cases, we would consider 90 seconds as having a luxury relative to decision making. And they were like, well, geez, that's fascinating that you have to live in a world that you know, trying to make. I said, yeah. Well, I guess one word for it would be fascinating, right? But in that arena, you have to make lucid decisions. And so here's what I would be critical of. Governor Cuomo going on TV with his Chicken Little event, you know, in the past week to 10 days was somebody who's inexperienced in the art of dynamic decision making. In the art of dynamic decision making, it's, right, don't speculate out loud. Don't talk about things that you're not real sure of. And don't panic, so you don't panic a whole lot of people, because guess what? You might be wrong. At the end of the day, what's going to happen is you're going to see New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut on a completely different trajectory from the rest of the country. And you're going to see that trajectory not even be what initially was what was forecasted. And by him going on TV every day, he painted a false picture for most people in the nation. So dynamic decision-making, a little bit of an art. I got an email from one of my Marines this morning. Right, he was my driver. His Lance Corporal driver. He listened for the first time, I guess. Hey, Mac. Hey, you know, he says, Captain Mac, then in parentheses, probably a higher rank now, not much higher. I listened to your podcast yesterday for the first time. I should have sooner. Great discussion. Brings back the time you challenged the battalion commander during the CACs out in the stumps. You were professional. He was not when he got pissed at you. How do I listen live? Semper Fi. Yeah. No, I mean I'm not afraid. And I look at what I see. I mean, think about that. You haven't heard anything from the CNO, anything from Naval Forces Pacific, anything from the 7th Fleet. Fucking crickets. How can that be? How can everybody stay silent? On a leadership issue, you know, relative to the Navy that the whole nation, the whole world's watching. And I have to tell you, I mean, me linking the dots is not bullshit, man. You want to know why they don't say anything and when bigger things come around? Because they don't say anything when smaller things come around. Because the most important thing is don't damage the brand, man. Don't damage the brand. From Bob Nielsen, I learned this in 67, 68. Cover up everything to tell a good story. I'm going to tell you, I think I talked about this on Monday, but, you know, I got my maps out and I'm going through Contien, right? 1967, 1968. They stuffed these Marines into the northern part of I Corps. The division command post is at Dong Ha. The terrain at Contien dominates Dong Ha, so people say, we got to own that. Okay, so it's right up against the DMZ. Well, guess what? We can't go, you know, we don't go into the DMZ very much, and we certainly don't go north of the Benhai River, which is the demarcation line. Well, guess what's on the other side of the Benhai River? Artillery. It's dug in, Iwo Jima style. Right? So our incredible Air Force of the 1960s, right, and our incredible naval aviation, to include marine aviation, they can't find this shit. They can't hit this shit. So guess what that means? They were firing at Contien for years with the data on their gun. Hey, somebody's going into the shitter. Imagine that being said in Vietnam. Oh, stand by. Here's the shitter data. Shoot them. that's how accurate the data is. Now, thankfully, because of atmospherics, it doesn't land in the same place all the time. Thankfully. But if it weren't for the atmospherics, right, anybody who moves dead up there. So you have a situation where the United States tries to fight a war of attrition, right? Body count war, right? But we don't have the ass to do it. So your dumbass gets sent there for 13 months, and you're just trying to survive. The officers come, and they show up for 6 months at the most, and then they rotate out of their billets because that was Marine Corps policy. Everybody's got to have a turn or some stupid shit like that. And guys are getting whacked. For what? So we can kill more NVA up here? I'm not dying for this stupid shit. They haven't resourced us. They just gave us this piece of shit M16 right in the middle of a war. I mean, think about that. If you were 19, 18, 19, 20 years old, And that's the situation those guys got put in. So Vietnam, veterans should be pissed about a lot of things, right? But when you read the reality of how they lived, how they fought, and sometimes how they died, it's so fucked up. It's not even, I can't even imagine sitting there getting your ass pounded every day at Khe Sanh or at Con Tien, right? And you've got a piece of shit rifle, right? And the problem with the rifle, if you don't know, right, the M16 was the ammunition, right, when it would be fired, and when it went to be ejected, right, there's this clasp on the bolt that pulls the spent casing and it pulls it out of the chamber and ejects it, right? Well, it would simply pull off the cartridge rim. Right. So the external part that keeps the round from going all the way into the barrel, there's that kind of rim. Yeah. It would pull that out, which would leave the casing stuck in the chamber. So then what would you have to do? In contact with the enemy, get your punch rod out that you clean your rifle with, assemble it, right? And Revolutionary War style, knock that cartridge out and pray to God the next round doesn't do the same fucking thing. So you have that concoction going on in Vietnam, and you're going to go out as an individual because you join as an individual and then you leave as an individual, right? So you read it and you're just like, how does this make sense, man? How did this make sense? So anyway, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps ban makes it official. We'll check some news headlines here. And yeah, All Marine Radio. But so good morning to you. And this dedicated to the United States Navy. If you think that you're on the path to taking on the Chinese, you have your heads so far up your ass, it's unbelievable. Okay? So, hug it out. But at some point, a little bit of tough love for the United States Navy, and I'm talking about everybody, right? You guys got to start reading about your history. What it took to win the Second World War. You might want to look up what it is to be in a naval war. Yeah, it might surprise you. So if you don't want to get shot at in Iraq or Afghanistan and you join the Navy thinking, yeah, it's a little bit safer, read about World War II. Guess what service had the second highest casualty rate after the United States Army? And here's a clue. It wasn't the Army Air Corps, and it wasn't the Marine Corps. Yeah, the United States Navy, by multiples of what the Marine Corps suffered. That's a naval war there, boys and girls. So, it's dedicated to you. Good fucking luck. Thank you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Yeah, we got to win. Hey, good luck if you think you're going to win and you're not going to break a few eggs when you make that omelet. Yeah, think about that. Band of Brothers, four episodes, ends with, right, the 506th, right? Destroyed in Bastogne. A little bit different TV program. Yeah, but hey, don't be mean to anybody. Don't say the wrong thing, right? That's the worst thing that could happen to you. Give me a fucking break, man. And again, you're gonna replicate scenes out of the Battle of Samar against the Chinese in a peer-to-peer fight. Like, you might want to sell whatever it is you're fucking smoking, man, because you're higher than a kite. Currently, partly sunny and 67 in Quantico, partly sunny and 79 Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. Raining in 43. Whoa, 29 Palms. Cold and rainy up there. And, at this time of the morning. Raining, 43. Clouds in 52 at Pendleton. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 66. Okinawa, clear, dark in 62. The Helmand Province of Afghanistan, where we spent part of the $9 trillion fucking dollars. Yep, dark cloudy in 73. And in Ramadi, where we spent the other part of the $9 trillion, 79 degrees under cloudy sky. Flash flood watch in Southern California in effect until 7 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, Wednesday, April 8th, which would be today. Currently, mostly cloudy at 54. The wind chill sits at 53. Yeah, I actually said that. Looking for a high today of 60 degrees with partly sunny skies. Rain on Thursday. Rain on Friday. What is going on? Like, what the fuck? Anyway, that is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. That's right. The one and only. And Andy Milburn coming up at the top of the hour. All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams, but under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I don't have much time to do the news today. Top story. Maybe I'll do it with music in the background, right? No Skull and Crossbones. This is the lead story in Stars and Stripes. With all the shit going on in the world, right? The lead story is No Skull and Crossbones. Here's how the six services are implementing military face mask guidance. Right? Right? Profit-driven headlines, okay? That's what people will click on. The Air Force says that the halt to PCS travel may extend into July. The Pentagon is considering a new move to include stop loss. Yay! You know, it's stop loss unless you have, you know, a job that you're really wanting to go to. If you're just going to get out, you might not be a bad decision to go sideways for a bit. Steady paycheck, blah, 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 blah. Not saying. I'm just saying. USNI News, right? Motley resigns Miss Carrie Roosevelt controversy. Army Undersecretary to serve as acting SECNAP. That's right. The Army finally got their hands on the Navy. So stand the fuck by. Yeah. In a statement, Mark Esper said he would appoint the Army's current number two civilian as acting SECNAP. I'm appointing current Army Undersecretary Jim McPherson as acting Secretary of Navy. Jim is a retired admiral with a distinguished 26-year naval career, serving ashore, afloat, and overseas during his time in uniform. I know Jim McPherson well. He's smart, capable professional who will restore confidence and stability in the Navy during these challenging times. Jim will serve as acting Secretary of the Navy until a permanent Secretary of Navy is confirmed. Can we get on that? You know, can somebody call in like a quorum of the Senate Armed Service Committee? And can we do that? And then Motley wrote a letter. I'm not gonna get into his letter, but let's see. From Marine Corps Times, obsessed with the face shield. Yeah, obsessed with it. Send us pictures of your face shield. Really? Is there that little news relative to the Marine Corps going on? Opinion. Here's an opinion piece. The biggest threat to the U.S. national security is a lack of trust in senior military leadership. By Robert Shadley and Camilla Vance Shadley. Who are the Shadley couple? Robert D. Shadley is a retired Army Major General and author of The Game, Unraveling a Military Sex Scandal. Really? Camilla Vance Shadley is a survivor of indecent assault by her late husband's military supervisor. She is also the daughter of former Secretary of State Cyrus Vance, who also served as the Deputy Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of the Army. So, there you have it. The Shadleys. Right? Opinion. The biggest threat to U.S. national security is a lack of trust in senior military leadership. The biggest threat to U.S. national security is senior military leadership. Write a history of them. Right? Write a history of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The first big test was the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? And what do they recommend to Kennedy? Nuclear war. let's do this shit. Then, right, covered themselves in horse shit during Vietnam. And I'll skip a bunch of the intermediaries. And then look what they've given us in Iraq and Afghanistan. $9 trillion worth of shit. So the biggest threat to U.S. national security is the people that it's entrusted to. They fuck it up at the cyclic rate all the time. So, nah, I don't want to be a naysayer, but I think that's just what some people would call the truth. Hello? Early Bird is actually updated. So top five stories. One. Navy Secretary officially resigns, capping bizarre 24-hour Theodore Roosevelt fiasco. There you go. This is by one of my former Marines, J.D. Simpkins, man. I got to see if he'll come on. I sent him a message yesterday. Will you come on the air and talk? Bizarre is the right word. Right? Motley doubling down on bizarre. Number two, Trump removes acting Pentagon Inspector General from his job. Number three, Pentagon supply chain faces an economy under siege. Number four, Veteran Affairs coronavirus cases top 3,000 nationwide, deaths are near 150. That's VA. That surprises me, given the population and the general health that older veterans tend to be in. That 150 number is surprising. Number five, sailor aboard fourth U.S. aircraft carrier tests positive for coronavirus. A sailor assigned to the USS Nimitz, a Bremerton-based aircraft carrier, tested positive last week after experiencing symptoms while on board the ship. So we got that going for us. We talked about the high-ranking al-Shabaab leader killed by a U.S. airstrike. And we all know that doesn't mean shit. We've been killing top high-ranking leaders for 18 years. That, and I've said this before, but that is the equivalent of the body count in Vietnam. We killed like 9,000. We killed 9 bazillion Viet Cong and North Vietnamese soldiers this week. Congratulations. Are we making any progress? No. But keep your eyes over here. The number. Watch the number. Because Mr. fucking Slick, Robert McNamara, said, you know, it's simply a data problem. If we keep killing them, right, they won't be able to replace them. I think you might not be right about that. What? Yeah, there's Vietnam right there in a nutshell, right? Well, wait a minute. What did the chairmen of the Joint Chiefs say? They don't say shit. They all want to keep their jobs and their perks. And they're going into the DOD establishment right after this. So what do they say? They don't say shit. Come on, man. All right. Now, with that, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to get Andy Milburn on. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.